The clearest example of this was I heard on the package of American airline peanuts that you would get as a snack. It had directions, which you would think, directions? But it is exactly what you would think, what would be the directions on a package of peanuts? Well, it simply said, open packet and eat nuts. Right? It wasn't a very big packet, so it couldn't explain a lot, but it tried to cover the bases, right? Open packet and eat nuts. It was pretty clear. If you were confused at all, you weren't going to end up, if you read the directions, you weren't going to end up eating the packet or opening the nuts to find something to eat inside the nuts. It was pretty clear what you were supposed to do. Even a fool would be able to acknowledge, okay, open the packet. Maybe it could have been more clear, open packet from the top, because a fool could potentially open the package from the bottom. So it might not be as foolproof of directions as you would think, but that was good. Another example, actually a big selling point today for home alarm systems is they are described to be foolproof. Because a survey showed that people were nervous to buy alarm systems for their home because they were afraid they would mess something up. That's what the survey came back. They would forget to set it, or they would set it and somehow set it off themselves and then be stuck with an alarm going off in their home with no intruder. So the whole concept was unfamiliar enough with people that the marketers for these home alarm systems began marketing these as foolproof, right? They would market it as open package and eat nuts kind of simplicity to a home alarm system. Well, the Proverbs that we have in the book of Proverbs from Solomon are there to make wise the simple. And they are there to essentially give you foolproof guidance for life. I actually came across a sermon series by another pastor on the book of Proverbs, and he titled his whole series Foolproof, with this theme of when you read the Proverbs, you're essentially trying to foolproof your own life, which means that you're the fool and you're acknowledging, I'll make foolish decisions on my own, but if I read the Proverbs, they're there to that even a fool can be made wise, even the simple can have guidance in life. And I liked that concept. Today we are going to see how Proverbs allow you to foolproof your family life. Now, notice I did not say you are able to foolproof your family. You're able to foolproof your family life. I think it's important to understand that when it comes to your family, you cannot control others. So you can't fling Proverbs at other people and make them follow the guidance of Scripture. But Scripture will and does, it's meant to be applied to you and to your life and into your situations. So while you cannot control others with the Proverbs, and while you cannot control your family situation, neither can you control the stage of life you find yourself in. But no matter your family situation or your stage of life, there are Proverbs that will apply to you and to your family situation. And so you can, to the best of your ability, foolproof your own actions and interactions and attitudes and have a biblical outlook on your stage of life and your family situation. As I reflected and read through some of these, I wanted to be sensitive because we do all find ourselves in different stages of life and in different family situations. And as I reflected on this, I recalled this, that family can bring some of the greatest joys that life can bring, like marriages. But family life can also bring some of the greatest grief that life can bring your way. And Proverbs is there for us in all of those situations, guiding us. And so with that idea in mind and that framework, let Scripture guide us. And to that end, let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we just now look into some of these Proverbs that give us just life guidance as it pertains to family, Lord, I pray that you would encourage us, that our family situation and our stage of life, wherever we are, you are not surprised, you are sovereign over it, and you are there to guide us and give us wisdom in each scenario and in each stage of life. And that your glory can be put on display as we walk in life according to your wisdom and as we trust in you. So Lord, I pray that you would do just that you would encourage each person here, no matter their family situation, and that you would challenge each person here to let your glory shine and to apply your wisdom in their situations. We pray it to this end in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I hate to say it because I love the book of Proverbs and I've heard some really awesome feedback from you guys that going through Proverbs was refreshing and challenging and convicting. But I do have to tell you that today is our last day in Proverbs together. Because next week, and Jeff will tell you at the end, I believe, but next week we have a guest speaker coming to share with us. And the week after that, Advent week one starts already. So I am busily working on that four-part Advent series like normal. But yes, today is, we end our study in Proverbs. So we have been looking at just this, the two ways that are presented, contrasted all throughout the book of Proverbs. There is a way of wisdom that is presented as a fountain of life. The words of God are described as a fountain of life, and our relationship with Jesus is that life-giving wisdom, that spring of living water coming up from inside of us as he transforms our mind and guides our actions. And so there is a way of wisdom and there is a way of folly that is described as attractive. It seems right. There's something about it that deceives us into thinking that this is what we should do or a good course of action. And yet, if it's the way of the world or the way of folly or the way of self, it will lead to ruin and death and destruction and consequences. So our two guiding verses that, again, I want on your heart as you remember these Proverbs and that God's wisdom is always there to guide you is Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man, and yet you can't lean on your own understanding because in the end, it will lead to death. But Proverbs 13:14 contrasts that with the teaching of the wise. The scriptures, the holy scriptures that we have is a fountain of life. That through the transformation of our mind, we might turn away from the snares of death and experience the eternal life that God has for us. So yesterday, it was only yesterday, I got to officiate Autumn and Alex's wedding. It was an amazing day. The church was beautified. The bride was gorgeous. The couple was obviously oozing joy the whole day. But the most beautiful thing to me was as I was able to do their premarital counseling with them, I knew that as they were exchanging their vows and as God was joining them together as one, I knew that deep in their hearts, they wanted to honor God with their marriage, with their lives becoming one. And that ended up to be my charge to them. The idea was this, that I gathered from the second verse of Great is Thy Faithfulness. Their marriage is now going to put the gospel and the goodness and faithfulness of God on display for a watching world if they will trust in God and follow the wisdom that God has laid out in Scripture for how a marriage is designed to thrive. Because that wisdom is in Scripture, right? That their union is going to join with all nature in witness to the wisdom and the faithfulness and the goodness of God. That the world would know more of the gospel and more of the glory of God simply through just seeing these two married and as they interact with one another. And the scriptures give them this foolproof way to flourish in marriage. If they will just trust and look for guidance and then simply know, thus saith the Lord, thus I will do in my marriage to the best of my ability. And so they desired in their marriage to submit themselves to one another in humble service. And their first act as a married couple was to wash one another's feet as a symbol of serving one another, which again was their way of applying the wisdom of God and committing to serve one another in this marriage. So my message to all of you today, the same way that God has designed wisdom for that moment and for that stage of life, for them to flourish and for them to put the glory of God and the gospel on display. So there is wisdom for every stage of life and for every family situation, not just marriage. And if we will just trust and obey and heed the counsel and wisdom of God, that we will experience, just like their marriage, if they do, will experience a fountain of life kind of blessing, even in the difficult moments. So to all of us, no matter our family situation or stage of life, can experience joy and fulfillment if we heed the wisdom of God. So no matter if you're a newlywed or a young child or a young adult or a parent or a grandparent, through the Proverbs and the wisdom of God, you can foolproof your life. I actually want to bookend our Proverbs, our meditation in Proverbs today. I want to bookend them with Psalms. And the first Psalm, I'll have some of it on the screen and I'll read all of it, but turn to Psalm 19 if you have your Bible with you. And it's actually, both of these Psalms are interesting in that it almost seems like each of these Psalms should just be broken into two different Psalms. Because there's kind of clearly a first topic, and then it's almost like there's a shift to a second topic in each of the Psalms we're going to look at the beginning and at the end. And so in Psalm 19, you're going to see that verses 1 through 6 are going to talk about one thing. And then in verse 6, it almost is like there should be another number, a different psalm starting in verse 7, but there isn't. Because these are psalms that were writings that were gathered as a whole. And so we're going to see that I believe that verses 1 through 6, though it's a different topic than verses 7 through 14, the two topics are related. And so the challenge for us as we read this is see how these connect. And I think you'll see the connection is this. The first verses are going to talk about how all of nature communicates. And I've seen this verse a lot recently because we've had a unique couple days in Minnesota this last week, and that we got to see what in the night sky. How many of you have seen pictures from a friend or a family member or flooding social media of the greens and the pinks and the beautiful sky? And how many of you, when you see that, I think you can think about the scientific side of what's going on, but I think also you can think of just the fact that we have a God who puts his glory on display through nature sometimes. And so I think these first verses simply say that. We have a creative, powerful, wise God who created all of this. And for those of us that can pause and actually acknowledge that it's not by chance, but that God did these things, we can acknowledge that nature itself communicates. But then all of a sudden, the whole topic shifts in verse 7 to start talking about the law. So we have to stop and think, what is the connection between nature communicating the glory of God to a watching world, and then all of a sudden saying, now let's talk about the law. Let's see if we can connect them as we read. Psalm 19, starting verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaim his handiwork. Day to day it pours out speech, and night to night it reveals knowledge. Do you get the sense that nature's communicating the glory of God? There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice they are not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving its chamber, and like a strong man it runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the ends of the heavens, and its circuit to the end to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The psalmist here made an observation. How awesome is God? And you can see it when you look out at his creation. His glory is on display, and it's a language that no matter what you speak, it's a language that you can understand. How great is our God? The heavens declare the glory of God. And then in verse 7, he shifts. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul, and the testimony of the Lord is sure. And here's a very Proverbs-esque phrase, making wise the simple. And here's why I want to start to connect it. What is the writer here doing? But saying when a simple man, when a sinner accepts the law of God and allows it, not the law of God unto salvation. This isn't talking about works, but this is talking about declaring the glory of God to a watching world. When someone takes the counsel of God, the wisdom of God, and applies it in their life, just like nature declares the glory of God through its beauty and design and splendor, so too a man, when he takes the wisdom of God and allows it to transform his life, and it makes wise the simple, so too is the glory of God put on display to a watching world. And that's a beautiful thought. So let's continue. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Again, I think that's something that communicates something to the watching world. A testimony, and the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. That fountain of life that comes from the precepts of the Lord. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. That idea of tasting and seeing that the Lord's ways, the Lord's wisdom, it is good. Verse 9, again, a very Proverbs-esque phrase here. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Again, a very Proverbs-esque phrase. These laws, these rules, these commands, this way of wisdom is more to be desired than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them is great reward. Then verse 12, who can discern his errors? We can hear him almost wrestling with this idea of, I don't even know when I'm being a fool, because things seem right to me sometimes, and I don't know if it is right or not. And so he's acknowledging, God, I need your wisdom. I need to go to you for guidance in all my ways. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from my hidden faults. Keep your servant away from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, meaning I don't want to walk the way of sin, the way of the fool. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Then verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the attitude that I want to take, that just as nature displays your glory and communicates it to a watching world, so I want my life, as I interact with my family and as I interact with my relationships around me, I want my life to be saturated with your clean precepts and wisdom, that it might communicate something to the watching world. It's both encouraging that wisdom is there for us, but I think it's also challenging that we apply the wisdom of God in every area of life. So God's design from family. As God was in the garden and as he presented Eve to Adam, what was the creation mandate? That first command that he gave this couple as he made them male and female in his image and he placed them in the garden. They were image bearers that were there to display the glory of God to the world. What was his command to them? Be fruitful and multiply. And actually, that was repeated in Genesis 9 after the flood to Noah and family. Go into all the earth and be fruitful and multiply. Each person here today is a result of that creation mandate. I don't know if that's a thought you want to think, if you're still tracking with me this morning. But you are a result of a couple being fruitful and multiplying and creating an image bearer to fill the earth with the image and the glory of God. So as we know, the fall distorted that image, and yet God has given us in his word a way to be renewed and reborn and redeemed, that we might be transformed back into a glory-filled image bearer and once again fill the world with the image and glory of God on display, that it would communicate the glory and goodness and faithfulness and wisdom of our God. And God has designed in a special way family to do that. And we see that back in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, these words that I command you today, meaning these commands, these precepts, this law, it is to be on your heart. Meaning this wisdom that I give you to live life according to, it shall be on your heart, but not only that, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. God has given us his wisdom, his ways, and we're called to embrace them in every area of life. So I have just a few proverbs to walk through here. First, if you're a child here today, and this applies mostly to children that are we're all children of someone, as was mentioned earlier, but specifically children who are still under the authority and in the household of their parents. God has designed that stage of your life to be very foundational, very critical. Your whole worldview is being shaped in those introductory years, and God has designed that you be one who listens and who obeys. So Proverbs 23, 24, and 25 say this: the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. That is a motivational verse to you in your teen years, if you're in the room in your preteen or teen years. God is glorified, and you are following the wisdom of God as your parents are instructing you and guiding you, and as they have brought you into this world, they desire to bring you up or according to God's design. They're desiring to bring you up in a way that is righteous and good and following the precepts. The other side of that coin is this. There are children who scoff at the guidance of their parents, especially when they reach those teen years and their own self-wisdom begins to be applied to their life. Proverbs 17:25 says this: a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. We see an idea like this repeated in the New Testament. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. A common theme all throughout Scripture: children, honor your parents. It's one of those Ten Commandments that were to be on our lips and repeated and held in high esteem in households. Children, honor your parents. Grow into one of these wise children that will make your father's heart glad and allow the woman who bore you to rejoice. This is God's design for the family to flourish. Young adults who are maybe past that teenage state and they're not yet married, they're on their own. They're not attached to their own family unit yet, so to speak. They're a family unto themselves. Proverbs 1:5 is for you. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Oftentimes in that early adult stage of life, you think you have more figured out than you actually do. And you're learning a lot of things the hard way. This is a stage in life where, again, you can be submitting yourself to God's wisdom and to the counsel of those around you who can lead you in a godly way. Proverbs 4:23 is also for you in that stage of life. keep your heart with all vigilance. This world has so many distractions for young adults. So many things that ultimately will not lead to fulfillment and joy and ultimately will not display the glory of God to the watching world. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. And the choices that you make and decisions that you act upon ultimately will lead to death if you choose foolishly, or life if, again, you submit to the wisdom of God and allow it to shape those early formative years of your life as you are out on your own. Again, it's mentioned before, but in this stage of life, Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise, and you will become wise. One of the things that I know I can't control as my children get older is I can't control the friends that they choose to really connect with. But I'm praying. I'm praying that God brings them godly friends, because I know that those who walk with the wise become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And so in that stage of your life, as you are setting off on your own, be intentional about the friendships that you forge and the circles you surround yourself with as you're making your decisions. Husbands and wives, again, there's wisdom for you in that stage of life. Proverbs 18:22 that I shared at the wedding yesterday simply says this: he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Proverbs 12:4 puts it this way: an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. There's a way that marriage is designed to thrive. And fulfillment goes both ways in this. And service goes both ways. Wives, are you applying Proverbs 31? We're not going to read through all of that for time, but there's things that you can be learning and growing in that you might become an excellent, virtuous wife that will be this crown to her husband. That position of crown, if you look into it, is a symbol of joy and having something of value and wealth, and even strength associated with it. And so the man draws strength and has great wealth and joy from this virtuous wife. It's a beautiful picture in Scripture. Husbands, though, it goes both ways. Are you treasuring your wife as if she is this crown of your head? And this is where I could go into also the verses that talk about how a quarrelsome wife is like a leaky roof and into those things, but we won't get into the negative, because we are committing ourselves unto the positive side of these things as we commit ourselves, whether we are the husband or the wife, to being, to following the way and wisdom of God, to be who God calls us to be, that again, just as nature declares his glory, as it fulfills its design and displays and communicates, so we too, whether a husband or a wife, there's a way that that's designed to flourish and put the glory of God on display. Parents, if you're in this stage of life, there's wisdom for you. Proverbs 22:6 says this: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And again, I want to remind us that this isn't something that we can use to control the life of others. Like, we know if we do this, then they're going to turn out this way. Again, you can't control your family situation, whether or not you have kids, and you cannot control the way your kids ultimately turn out, for they are an independent image bearer that will be responsible for their own actions. But for you as a parent, this verse guides you and gives you hope that your efforts will have a result. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Again, we see this repeated in Ephesians. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The Proverbs go on and on. Proverbs 29:17 says, discipline your son, and he will give you rest. Meaning ultimately that discipline your son will learn and there will be peace in the house. It has a positive result. And it says he will be a delight to your heart Proverbs 13:24 says, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." Again, it's both the instruction and discipline of the Lord. We won't go into this too much, but Scripture simply states in Proverbs 22:15 that folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Now, I'm not condoning beating of children as a form of punishment, but a father, a loving father who desires their children to be brought up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, there will be consequences for negative actions out of love, because you know ultimately if those negative actions continue to grow into their old age, the consequences will be far greater if they live out those negative actions than a discipline from a father. But again, not a discipline in anger, not a discipline that provokes anger in a child, but in love, with the desiring your child to be brought up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Again, this is something that you as parents need to continue to submit yourself to learning and walking in the wisdom of God. And it goes all the way up to grandparents. Proverbs 23, 21, and 22 says, "Listen to your father who gave you life." There's no expiration date on that. It doesn't say, listen to your father until you're out of the house. It simply says this, your father gave you life. Listen to your father who gave you life. Continue to draw wisdom from him, because he's been in your situation before you, because he's older than you. And it continues to say, and do not despise your mother when she is old. So grandparents, this gives you freedom to continue to speak instruction into the lives of your children. And for us as adults, with the kids even, who are out and have the freedom of our own, we are still to esteem and not neglect our parents as they get older. And Proverbs 17:6, a beautiful verse that simply says, "Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers." And again, that's just that idea of, as we look up to our parents, even into their old age, we esteem them. We want them to be able to mentor. They have a wisdom in their old age that is a legacy and can serve the family. So again, you cannot control others. So you can't foolproof your family in the sense that you're able to make them not be foolish. Parents, that's our goal, but ultimately we cannot control. But what you can control is whatever family situation and whatever stage of life you find yourself in, we know that God is guiding us there, and he has given us wisdom in his word. And if we will submit ourselves to that wisdom, our lives will be blessed. It doesn't say it will be easy, but God has wisdom and guidance and strength and grace and courage to face anything, and we know that in any situation, if we allow God's wisdom to saturate our actions and attitudes, just as nature displays the glory of God, so too our lives will display the wisdom and goodness of our God to the watching world. So as I said, I wanted to begin with a psalm and end with a psalm. And again, this psalm is broken up into two different topics, so it would seem, but not actually. Psalm 127. And actually, this is one of two psalms that's attributed to Solomon. And this psalm reads, Psalm 127, "Unless the Lord builds the house." And this is a reminder to submit everything that we do to prayer. "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep." And oftentimes these verses talk about when you're planning life and when you're doing things and when you're toiling to build the life that you want, and it's often applied to work and such. But then in verse 3, it does that shift again, and it goes from building to the idea of children. So ultimately, what was Solomon talking about building and submitting to the Lord? Verse 3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks of his enemies in the gate." Let us be, again, whatever family situation or stage of life, let us be one of those quivers that displays the glory of God to the watching world. Build our house on the wisdom of God and on the rock. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that we have been able to gather and hear this report of Crosby's time in Greece. And Lord, we do submit all of that to prayer.